Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew, and we trust that the Lord may make these meditations very precious and very real to your heart. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and we're dealing here with the last week of our Lord's earthly life of ministry among men, chapters 21 through 23. And we were dealing in our last lesson with the fact that our Lord presented himself to the nation and was rejected, and he came according to the prophets. In other words, he fulfilled Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where our Lord was going to come riding the foal of an ass. And we have the people rejoicing because he is the son of David. And yet, may I again remind you that even though they said, Hosanna to the highest, Hosanna to the son of David, and so on, they did not recognize his person. They did not receive him even as their Messiah, even though they called him the son of David. They said, is this not Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth? And then you have him coming into the temple. He went right into the temple. And you remember, he had opposition, which causes me to read to you from verse 12 down to verse 16. If you have your Bibles, I wish you might turn to this passage with me. Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, don't you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now let me just stop here for a little while today. Here our Lord is manifesting his authority as the Messiah, as the son of David, as the King of Israel. You remember that his ministry started with him cleansing the temple, and his ministry ends with him cleansing the temple. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, when our Lord starts his ministry, remember he took a scourge of cords and he drove the money changers and those who sold lambs and so on, and those who sold doves. He drove them out of the temple and said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer, and so on. And they said, what right have you got to do this? Where do you get your authority? And his answer was, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. This he said concerning his body. In other words, the resurrection of our Savior was going to be the sign of his authority as to his sonship, as to his claims. And by the way, that's so today. How do we know that Jesus Christ is a real Savior of sinners? How do we know he has put away our sins? How do we know we can stand before God acceptably in his presence? Is it not because the one who died for us and was buried was raised again from the dead? And may I remind you that this was ever the message of the early church. The disciples never defended the resurrection of Christ. They proclaimed it. This was the guarantee of his person and of his work. Now when we come to Matthew chapter 21, the last week of his ministry, he does exactly the same thing. He drove out the money changers, overthrew the tables, and those who sold doves, he just cleaned the whole business out. And in verse 13 it says, he said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And you remember Isaiah 56:7, where you have the prophecy concerning this very fact, that the temple of God is to be the house of prayer for all nations. And may I say, my friend, that he has a right to cleanse his own temple? It's his Father's house. And what had they done? They had made it a den of thieves. They had commercialized the things of God. Now, I know one could rationalize what they had done. I'm sure if you had talked to the Jews of the day, they could have said, well, we're doing something for God. We're making it easy for these people who come from afar to worship Jehovah in the temple of God. They've come from different parts of the empire, and we make it easy for them to buy their sacrifice and to change their money and to buy doves and pigeons. Why, we're doing God a favor in doing this. And so they rationalize their commercializing of spiritual things. May I say that that very same spirit is manifested today in the book of Jude, verse 11, where Jude, you remember, writes, speaking of the last days when he said, talking of the doctrine of the ecclesiastical leaders of the last days. They've gone the way of Cain, that is salvation without the work of Christ at the cross. They followed after the error of Balaam for reward, that is, they commercialized spiritual things. And they followed after the gainsaying of Korah, which was a despising of the authority of the Word of God. Those three things are very evident today. Even religious leaders here and there declare there's no value to the blood of Christ, no value to the sacrifice of Christ. When he died, that was the end of Jesus. This is what they teach. They deny the resurrection of Christ. And they commercialize spiritual things, and they despise the authority of the Word of God. In fact, one is amazed today that most of our seminaries in America do not believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. They say some things are not inspired of God. But what I'm after here is this question of taking spiritual things and commercializing. And I might say here, my friend, it's not only true in the world, it's even true among some of evangelical Christians, where we take the gospel as a means to an end to get money. May the Lord deliver us from such a thing. But I say our Lord has a right to come into the temple and cleanse it. You know, I would love to have been there. I don't know how you feel, but I would like to have been in the temple that day when the Lord came in. He came into the city riding the foal of an ass. Now the children followed him into the temple, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You'd take the kids to do that, by the way. And this made the Pharisees and scribes and chief priests very, very angry. But what I was going to say, I can just see the Lord coming through the city of Jerusalem and making his way right through to the temple. By the way, may I inject here, as he went down the streets of Jerusalem, I'm sure he saw many things that should have been rectified. Our Lord did not stop to rectify social conditions as he went through the city. He went right down to the basic fact they had despised their God. He went right to the temple of God and cleansed it. And the reason for the social conditions was because they had ruled God out of their lives. May I say this, my friend? As you and I look around us today in America, we see a great many things, great many injustices, a great deal of unrighteousness, a great deal of unfairness, a great deal of immorality and corruption in high places and low places. And you say, we've got to do something for our people. But do you ever stop to think the basic trouble? That which is the cause of it all is because we've turned our back on the living God. We have thrown his word out. We despise the spirit of Christ. And we have dethroned the person of Christ. And when you rule God out of a generation, or out of a nation, or out of a family, or out of an individual's life, you rule in lawlessness. Sin then takes over. Remember that peace is the resultant of righteousness. And unless our nation comes back to a place of righteousness in its dealings with men and women, you're going to have this problem. In fact, it's going to come worse and worse. It's going to be far more difficult, far more heart-rending than it is even today if we do not turn back to the Lord. I'm speaking now of the nation. And the Word of God is full of exhortation concerning this. So our Lord, instead of fixing up the social things, went right into the temple, and he cleansed the temple of all these fellows who were commercializing the things of God. I say I would like to have seen him do that. I would like to have been there that day and seen these Jews trying to gather up all their shekels and see the tables overturned with the coins running in every direction and driving out the sheep and whatever they had in there and letting loose the doves out of their cages and seeing the priests mad. Why should they be mad? Because I suppose they had they had their hand out for a little handout from these who were merchants. They allowed them to be in the temple, and I'm sure they got a rake off. But you know, there's a little verse here in verse 14 that kind of struck me very forcibly. And I read, after when he was cleansing the temple, I read, there came in those who were blind and lame, and they came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. You know, I just love that. One moment he is manifesting his authority and he cleanses the temple of these who are despising the things of God. He turns right round with a heart full of compassion and love and grace and tenderness, and he opened the eyes of the blind and he healed the lame who came to him. Do you know that's true today? Even though a great many in ecclesiastical circles who are not true to the Word of God, not true to Christ. That may be true. The Lord's heart is always open to those who are in need. My friend, may I say this to you today, that our Savior, even now, is always ready, always waiting to meet anybody who will come unto him, whatever their needs may be. You know, in Matthew 11:28, our Lord could say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you want rest? Do you want peace of heart? Why don't you come? It is not that you are waiting for God. God's waiting for you. He's already made the provision. He already says, "Come." And I say, I don't care what your condition is, if you just come, he'll meet your need. He'll satisfy your heart. And maybe I'm talking to some today who are distressed and discouraged, and you're lacking that wonderful rest and that peace. You're all disturbed. You've been misunderstood, or you're in suffering or in sorrow. May I suggest to you today that the precious Savior who turned, the one who cleansed the temple, manifesting his authority as the Son of God, when he said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer for all nations." Though spurned by the nation, though spurned by the leaders and hated by the priests, he took the time out to turn around to these who came to him in their need, the blind and the lame and what have you. Oh friend, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In his heart, in his character, in his purposes, he wants to meet the need of people. But you have to come to him. That's why in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "To as many as received him, to them he gives the right, the authority, the power, to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And if I'm talking to you today, whatever your need may be, why don't you come to him? His arms are outstretched. And if our Lord could turn from these ecclesiastical leaders after judging them and driving them out of God's temple, out of his Father's house, and yet could turn around and manifest such wonderful love and compassion to these in need, he's the same today. You see, when Mr. Mitchell, I'm so discouraged, I've looked at the preachers and ecclesiastical leaders and so-called Christian people and church people who attend church, and I'm discouraged. Why don't you turn to the Lord? Don't look at people. You know, when you and I look at people, we generally see something there we don't like. Because none of us are perfect. All of us have frailties and weaknesses and failures of one sort or another. Why not turn to him? He said, "Come unto me." He said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He just wants you. He wants you personally. You see, this question of life, this question of salvation, this question of forgiveness, this question even of restoration, question of relationship between you and the Savior. Between you and the Savior. And may I say what I've said so often? There's a difference between relationship to Christ and fellowship with Christ. Relationship is settled the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Then from there on you should grow in the grace of God, in the Word of God, and enjoy fellowship with Him day by day. Now, in looking at this verse 14, I couldn't help but say those few things. I just love this picture. I can see Him driving out the enemy, men who should have known better, those who called themselves a priest of God, but had no heart for God. One is reminded of the prophet Isaiah when he said, with their mouths they speak great things, in their hearts they're far from me. Oh God, grant that you and I may have the reality of life in Christ because of relationship to Him personally. And so I read in verse 16, and these leaders said to Jesus, don't you hear what these boys and girls are saying? Yes, what are they saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. That's right. And He proved Himself to be the Son of David right in their very midst by opening the eyes of the blind, by healing the lame. May I again say to you, my friend, in the book of Matthew, these miracles of Christ were His credentials as to the fact that He was the Messiah, the Christ of God, the Son of David, the Son of God. The Lord didn't ask me to perform those miracles, but He performed them for a purpose. That purpose was to reveal to them, even the last week He was on earth, even after He had scourged the temple and driven them out, and the priests and the scribes were saying, don't you hear what these youngsters are saying about you? Yes, but didn't you know what I've just done? Again, He presents His prophetical right to the throne. He said, yes, did you never hear? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And I say there was no excuse for these leaders, because right before them, He not only manifested His authority by cleansing the temple, but He manifested His person by opening the eyes of the blind and healing the lame and meeting the needs of people who needed Him. Oh, the blindness, again I say, the blindness of unbelief. There's nothing so dark as unbelief. And God, deliver you and me from the terribleness of unbelief in Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, who not only is the Messiah, but He's the Savior of all who will come unto Him. Now may the Lord make this simple lesson very precious and very real. And again, I say to you, if you have any special need, why don't you go to the Lord? His heart, His arms are open to receive you, if you will come to Him. And he that cometh to me, said Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. Why don't you trust Him? Why don't you trust Him? The Lord bless you for His name's sake.